Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And, you know, I like starting off a segment with a very special guest. You know, unfortunately, today I don't know what's happened. I was supposed to have a guy named Graham McReady, who is taking a private prosecution against the former mayor of Auckland, John Banks, otherwise known locally as Banksy. He's a real piece of work, that Banksy, mate, I swear. I mean, you know, in some cases, you think, how in the frack can people vote for these kind of people, right? They're not personable. They're elitist. They're insulting. They're insufferable. And you see these bunches of morons, and I'm going to call it as I see it, waving their fracking placards, "Vote for Banksy, you pathetic scum. You're a moron." All right, you don't even know what kind of scum you're supporting here. All right, he's got dead eyes. Practically psychopathic in nature. Well, in my personal opinion, you know, I could be wrong, and I don't have no doctorate or nothing. And even if I did, I wouldn't be able to prove it because there's no blood test, is there? Or any scientific evidence, for that matter. Which means I'm probably just as qualified as any qualified psychologist to make a judgment call on what somebody's freaking mental disorder is. But Banksy suffers from... No, he doesn't suffer. He makes us suffer. I mean, it's like, dig this. If you're at a public meeting, or just, you know, like a council chambers meeting or something of that nature, would you expect that if you're just standing there in the background with a tripod and a camera, just filming the public meeting, that you would get thrown out by security guards because Banksy says so? You know, that's the kind of person he is. He's just scum in every single sense of the word. Dry scum, all right? You know, the kind of stuff that accumulates in the corner of your mouth when you're really thirsty? Yeah, little bit less appealing than that. That's Banksy. I really, really don't have no love for the guy. Namely because he's just really up himself and insulting. And there's so many allegations being laid against him for things as like pedophilia, or drug trafficking, or, you know, that kind of stuff. And clearly, by no stretch of the imagination, he'd had allegations of corruption. And, yet, people who claim to have a political interest, and I can guarantee you got some kind of councilman in your frickin' county or state or wherever the hell you happen to be in the world listening to this radio show, I can guarantee you've got some kind of real top-down elitist scum running your part of town. You know, those kind of people who you just can't get along with because they're just not good people. They're just not good people. And, you know, I applaud people who take a personal vendetta against scum like that. You know, you got to hand it to them, because it's kind of like most people are too afraid. No, actually, scratch that. Too afraid. Most people are too fracking apathetic. They just don't give a frack enough about how their country or their city's being run to go up and accost these pieces of trash, like Banksy. Hey, I've accosted him many times. It's nothing like a camera to give you the will and the ballsiness to go up to that fracker and ruin his day. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever ruined his day. But I'll tell you what, just trying to accost him and being polite gets you abused by Banksy. And I've done it many times. And he accuses you of stuff and laughs at you. And there's this snide little smile and smirk that he's got. You know the type. And of course, people vote for the frack. Am I alone in this feeling that, oh my gosh. Maybe that's oh my baba ganoush. I don't comprehend it, okay? Mainly because I'm not an idiot. And I actually know who he is. I actually have spoken to him. I've actually tried to interview him. I mean, palmed off like yesterday's garbage. Just total horrific people. And this is who you got controlling you. This is who you got making all the important decisions. This is who you got funneling all your municipal funds away, isn't it? I don't get it. Where do the people with a conscience go? Well, you know where they went? They went into private enterprise because they didn't want to be in public office and have to deal with any of these pieces of trash like this. You know, frack bureaucracy. I don't get it. I really don't. How can people do this? And it's because they don't know. I don't fracking know. Okay, I was covering the election a number of years back in this Mount Albert by-election. Like Helen Clark, former Prime Minister of New Zealand, right, gets this big job, number three at the UN, $9 billion budget, $9 million salary. Mm-hmm. Mostly to dish vaccines out to the third world that are contaminated, financed by the Gates, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which has been found to have HIV contamination and all of this other kind of stuff, which is incidentally the reason why AIDS is so fracking rampant in Africa is because they're injecting the frack out of them with it. All right? That's what she did. And then her seat, which has been long held by the Labour Party, gets filled by all these other people, jockeying for position. Nobody had a chance of winning except the Labour Party because they got like a 80% majority or some crap like that, close enough to it. And you have these little minor parties trying to vie for the position, from United Future or in particular the ACT Party. And this is what I wanted to say. There was this dude in a van with a ACT Party kind of logo on it, with a little loudspeaker on the side of the road, trying to promote John Boscawen from the ACT Party. Now, I've spoken to John, and he's actually quite a good guy. He is personable, and he is a bit of a nice fella. But I asked this guy, why do you like John Boscawen? And he says, because I really favour his liberal policies. And I say, what kind of liberal policies? Blank stare. Think about it. You've taken the effort, my man, to drive a vehicle for this person, to vote for this person, and to put yourself out there saying that you want to encourage other people to vote for this person. And by your own admission, you don't know what the frack you're talking about. You've got to be freaking kidding me. And this is the vast majority of voting, I believe, based upon my personal experience. Anybody who basically doesn't vote the way I do, or maybe, I don't know, if there is an informed person who votes either Labour or National, how can they do this? It's insanity, all right? It's not possible to vote for any one of the two mainstream parties, or really any of the political parties to a large extent, because you don't frickin' know who they are. You don't frickin' know their policy. And no wonder the country's going to hell in a handbasket. No wonder the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Nobody knows what the hell they're doing. They don't know any of these people. thinks he gets like 50 grand or something like that from Mr. Kim.com, who gets surveilled illegally, I might add, by the GCSB, with full knowledge of the Prime Minister. And the frack gets away with it. And people like Graham McCready are actually trying to, you know, just say, hey, look, this guy's a scumbag. He violated the law, and the government won't take him to task over it because the government is just as corrupt as he is. It'd be pretty hypocritical of them to prosecute somebody who's criminals when, you know, what are they doing? They prosecute themselves? Oh my God, that would be a great skit, wouldn't it? You know, big news flash: government sentences itself to prison. That'd be great, actually. Yeah, just like the Prime Minister comes out, and he goes, "All right, New Zealand, I realise that I'm a banker scumbag, and I've." Told at least 300 lies per day in order to keep you from realizing my plans to destroy the country, and I can't live with myself any longer. I am going to put myself in prison because I'm a bad, bad man. I can guarantee you, half the country will go, hooray! And the other half of the country go, what? You know, because people just hit them between the eyes and you have no freaking idea, bro. Okay, calm down, Vinny. I don't know. This is something that gets me excited and happy and jovial about the thought of the Prime Minister or Banksy or any of these other fracks going to jail, you know? It fills me with glee. Is that nasty? Is that wrong to think that Barack Obama going to prison would be freaking awesome and, you know, crack out a bottle of champagne or a bottle, you know, something of that nature to... That would be great, you know, spray it all over everybody like they do at the Indy 500. Frack, man. It would be like Celebration Day. You remember when Osama bin Laden was allegedly assassinated by a bunch of SEAL Team Sixes who incidentally got assassinated right afterwards, all in the same helicopter, and there were all these Americans in the street, and like, on cue, USA, 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 our morons are the best morons, USA, USA, we have no idea what we're even talking about because he died of kidney failure, USA, USA, I mean, come on, that'd be great if it was actually for something real, wouldn't that be great, you know, I mean, what is it like to be an American nowadays? When you can't even switch on the TV without being lied to. I mean, mainstream media thinks they're popular, you know, because they're going in some kind of studio or whatever. Oh, yeah, we're mainstream media. It's just like, no. But barely anybody watches you anymore. Chuck Norris's Total Gym has more ratings than you. You shill. You frickin' scumbag. You pathetic trash. Nobody cares what you've got to say. Everybody thinks you're a frickin' liar. And there's only a small handful of people who are so dumb, that they just can't help themselves but swallow it all. You know, lock, stock, and barrel. I mean, why don't you just put the gun between your teeth and squeeze the trigger, America? Put yourself out of your misery. How can you, or, better yet, keep your weapons and defend yourself with them against these fracks. They come onto your land. They try to take your kids. They try and set up some kind of false flag terrorism operation using the FBI and the CIA and blow the living frack out of some innocent people because they can. You've got to take some natural justice. I think that this country, the United States of America, used to be a great land. And in a lot of respects, it still is. There, I mean, anyone who's ever, you know, travelled cross country in the United States, and I haven't personally had the pleasure, but I've seen many items where you see the landscape of this paradise, and like George Carlin said, it's been turned into a huge fracking shopping mall. You know, I'm thinking about opening a shopping mall just to only sell evil products. and call it a Darth Maul. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Come to the Darth. Oh, what are you doing this weekend, man? Oh, I'm going to go and hang out at the Darth Maul, Holmes. Oh yeah, hang out by the fountain. What are you going to do? Shoplifting? You're going to stand some old lady over with a bag, do you? Come on. What the hell's happened to the country? I mean, have a look at the statistics. America's number one in only a couple of things. Obesity, foreign wars, and debt. That's it. Everything else, you're like 50th. Education's way down. Health is way down. You know, the likelihood of a child actually surviving birth in the United States is like lower than 60 other countries. It's been by design. Countries being annihilated. Everything that made it great. All the hospitality, all the creativity, the entrepreneurship being slowly squeezed out by Fabian socialist fracks in the White House. Take your nation back. And the same thing's happening here in New Zealand. I presume the same thing happening everywhere else. People have got to take action, preferably non-violent. We'll be right back after the break at the MinnieEastwoodShow.com. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. Live from New Zealand, you know, this little fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland. It's really gorgeous this time of the year. There's gridlock everywhere because people want to stay out of the rain, and there's scumbags all over the place getting corporate contracts to run the city and milking the public funds for all their fracking worth. You gotta love that. And I wanted to play for y'all a song we wrote. You know the happy birthday song? You know that's real old and kind of cheesy. Well, we were kind of vamped it up a little bit. And I wrote this on my good friend and bandmate Mikhail's birthday. And we thought it was like one of the best songs we've ever done. And I'd like to play it for y'all, you know, if you'd be willing to listen. So yeah, here we are. This is "Happy Birthday" by the Pakehachis. I hope you enjoy it. Caps you late, you with love.
My senses overwhelmed. Hold, hold me tight. Shield my eyes from the light. As I step into the dark abyss, nothing to hold me. Come and give me one last kiss. It will console me.
You all enjoyed that. That's Happy Birthday by the Parky Hatchies. If you want a copy of that, I'll be publishing that onto the YouTube channel, I think, after today. I think that's kind of like I'm too lazy to make music videos, so what I do is just play the thing on the song on the show, and I'm filming it anyway, and just, you know, kind of mouth the words. It's fun. Anyway, I was just thinking about that. Do you know how much it costs if you want to play the original Happy Birthday song? It costs you 10K in royalties, yo. 10K! Unbelievable. I mean, yeah, you can sing it at your friend's birthday parties and stuff like that, but if you want to put it on film or something, you know, it's 10 grand. Unbelievable. I think this one's a lot better. Personally, you know, I could be wrong. Maybe it just sucked and everybody is like, oh my God, Vinny's such a douche. Well, anyway, it's just like, you know, creative expression. It's a dying art. And I think it's been, well, what was I saying the other day? Oh, yeah. New Zealand has a shockingly large amount of really talented musicians, man. Like you wouldn't believe. You seriously go to any of the summer festivals that are happening here in New Zealand, and they'll have, you know, a few foreign acts that are like really big or whatever. And the thing that really steals the show, as it were, are the local acts. And maybe this is similar all around the world, I think. You know, really good, talented musicians who basically nobody knows about. You know, they haven't sold out to record companies. They haven't gone promoted, and they haven't gone overseas. And in New Zealand, oh, my God, to make it successful in New Zealand with a population base of 4 million is nigh on impossible. You know, in the United States, maybe if you're a decent band and you've got some marketing skill or whatever, and the ability to organize gigs and the huge quantity of work that actually goes into it, you've got a population base of like 350, 400, 400 million people ish. And, you can make yourself pretty successful. New Zealand bands, on the other hand, hey, in order to be successful in New Zealand, you have to go to America. I mean, that's basically it. Incidentally, there's an article that came out a number of years ago identifying that New Zealand singers actually sing in American accents. And I just listened to that song myself and just thinking, man, I do sound like I got an American accent in that song, didn't it? Why is that? And what's interesting is I've tried singing in a New Zealand accent, and I can't. It's like the vocal cords just don't go that way. It's like singing is American. and the other element, what was I talking about the other day? Crap, I lost it. Anyway, I was thinking also that people really need to appreciate talent when they see it. You know what I'm saying? If somebody's rapping about the New World Order, for example, you know, these artists that we have on the soundtrack to the Vinnie Eastwood show, like Jay Soli or Genocide, and there's also many other anti-New World Order rappers that I could mention. And you listen to their songs and you think to yourself, man, these guys are actually really, really talented. Really talented, okay? But they're not being picked up by the mainstream. Why? Because it's not commercial enough. I'll tell you what's not commercial. What's not commercial is exactly what should be commercial. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's wondering, how is it that good people can't make any money in this industry? It's because the bad guys don't want you to pass out good, decent message. There really hasn't been any big musical sea change in society and big protest movement since the 60s, as far as I know. It's basically all downhill from there. And that was created by the CIA. You know, isn't that interesting? You know, they create the feminist movement, they create hippie culture, they create all of this other kind of stuff, and finance all these bands, all these major mega bands, are like the sons and daughters of military intelligence, black ops people. You know, like Jim Morrison's dad was the guy who set up the Gulf of Tonkin incident, which got everybody into Vietnam, and like, oh, this is the end, my only friend. Yeah, my only friend indeed. And the scary part about it is, I don't know, that people don't really have too much of a choice that's in their face, you know. You hear, have a look at the music charts and things like that. Good musicians don't even get a look in these days. It's all meaningless tripe, you know, talking about, macking bitches or and I apologize for the use of the language. It's the nomenclature. And talking about other vacuous stuff. If I hear another love song that doesn't actually mean anything, I will puke my guts. I will barf up my liver. I swear to goodness gracious me. It's all vacuous tripe. People don't even know what the hell love is. You know, what about a real love song? You know, something that actually means something. Something that's really based on a real event, as opposed to just, you know, I'm singing about some wanky bollocks. Yeah, good on you, mate. Thank you very much for your contributions to the betterment of society. Freaking talentless twat. Just annoyed with this. Is anybody else annoyed with this? I really am. I just don't get it. You know, you see talented musicians who have great songs that really mean something, and nobody knows about them, and you see talentless star search programs like The X Factor and American Idol, the people who have, you know, good pitch, good tone, and so on and so forth, but they haven't actually done the hard yards that a real artist has to do, you know, doing all the writing, doing all the rehearsing, and getting all of that kind of stuff together on your own, without any support, without any direction, without, you know, having to learn it offhand by yourself. It's just like, it's like a manufacturing company, isn't it? They're manufacturing these starlets, And everybody thinks, oh, isn't that great? Isn't it nice? They're coming up from nothing and they've got a great voice and now they're finally being recognized for their talent. Well, what about the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of really awesome artists who made it on their own without so much as a talent quest? Who said, you know what, I don't want to bother auditioning for the X Factor or American Idol. I mean, Avril Lavigne, for example, hugely successful musician, she was auditioned for American Idol and they booed her off the stage. And rightly so. No, I'm kidding. I was just kidding. But the point of fact is, these people are just manufacturers of tripe. Okay, anything real, anything decent, anything independent comes on, you know, they crush it like a freaking bug, man. And, you know, I have yet to see. Okay, and if I'm wrong, I certainly hope I am. I have yet to see anybody who's ever won X Factor, American Idol, or any one of these other television show competitions in the music industry ever make it past a couple of years afterwards before they fade into obscurity. Because they ain't real art. Look, it's kind of like country music. You can't sing country music unless you have suffered hugely and it comes out in your music. And people can actually feel something when you sing. These other people, on the other hand, what's the worst amount of suffering they had? A little bit of sleep deprivation when they're standing in line to some competition? You're going to sing about that and make a career, make an album off it? Kidding me. All right. True artistry is born of pain. That's my philosophy. You know, if you've got a life that's so freaking easy, none of your stuff will mean anything. It won't resonate with people. Music is an escape from harsh reality. All right. You shouldn't be getting into it if you haven't experienced any harsh reality to help people escape from. You know what I'm saying? And these TV shows, I can't bear them, okay? And they're everywhere. They're everywhere now. Have you noticed? Did you know that reality TV is the cheapest form of television ever devised? Oh, scratch that. The second cheapest form of television ever devised. The cheapest being like when animals attack, where they just use old stock footage and cut that together, and that's a TV show. That's the cheapest. And the second cheapest is just reality TV. You know, why do you think they have to do all that really cheap stuff and keep people entertained with vain Sasquatch mofos? Okay, it's because they're running out of money because nobody cares. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Just in time, head down the 405. Gotta meet the new boss by 8 a.m. The phone rings in the car. The wife is working hard. She's running late tonight again. Well,
welcome back.
Know what I've been told.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the final segment for today's show, and I've just been kind of winging it. You know, I had a very late night. You know, when you're hanging out with your mates and they're in trouble and stuff like that, you stay up late until they feel better, and then you come home at 4 o'clock in the morning. Unbelievable. So and right after this, I'm gonna have to go to a Monsanto protest march. Which I'm very much looking forward to. And I was just thinking, you know what? I am so taking my chemtrail banner. Oh, yeah. And I had one of my listeners down in Invercargill, where Affinity FM is based. They play the Vinnie Eastwood Show 5 nights a week. And she sent us these wonderfully printed banners, you know, all for free. It's just... I'm just so grateful for all the stuff that I get given so I can go out and do more stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, you give a man you make a man a video and he'll watch it for a day. You give a man a camera and an editing suite and he'll be making movies by himself for generations. And that's basically what I'm doing, you know. And I wanted to make a call out for subscribers as well, because the little that you give every month, some people give significant contributions, and I you know, I'm really grateful when people go kind of go out of their way and that kind of thing for me. It's just it's really humbling. You know, I'm getting people on the show like Tila Tequila and G. Edward Griffin and Foster Gamble and Lindsay Williams, David Icke, that kind of thing. And you know, I'm right up there in terms of guest quality in general. I do bring on a lot of unknowns, of course, because I don't think how is somebody going to become known unless you give them a shot. You know, I wouldn't have risen up or really accomplished anything like what I've done so far without the opportunity literally being handed to me by American Freedom Radio to do this show. And likewise, I would have, I don't know what I would have done in my life if I didn't have this show. You know, really, this is brought new meaning to it. It's helped me get out of abject poverty. I've been living hand to mouth for years and years. You know, I think like for the first 4 years when I was an activist in the street with a camera, uploading videos almost every other day, going to every public meeting and protest that I can get my filthy little mitts on. I wasn't even so much able to buy a cup of coffee for those 4 years. No, really. I would go out to a protest without food in my belly because I was that poor, and walk around for hours up and down the street, running, filming and using the tripods and interviewing people and stuff like that. And then I'd get home and then spend all my personal free time where I could be relaxing, just quickly editing and putting all that stuff up. You know, I really pour my heart and soul into this job, man. And it's a job, of course. It's a fun job, but it's still a job, as Cypress Hill would say. People have asked me, you know, what's the point? You know, what's the point in me doing this at all? And I say, well, you know, honestly, I don't know exactly what I'm going to be able to accomplish by doing this radio show. I don't know the end goal. All I know is that every single day I've got to be here. I've got listeners. And they expect me now to produce new content, get guests, talk about stuff, you know. And I feel very obligated to do as much as I possibly can to ensure that you guys are satisfied. Every guest suggestion I get those people on. Okay. And I've cut out the middleman in a lot of ways. So the audience participation in this show is kind of like, let's say, for example, I don't come up with the guest names or do any research on them. A listener will actually send me that name and the email contact address and their websites and things like that. So they've done the legwork for me, and then I just simply, you know, do the mechanics. You know, flick them the email, they say yes, and then I flick them another email with the scheduled time, they say yes, and then we bring them on the show and it's done. You know? It's very, very easy for me in the position, and it's due in no small part to the equipment and pay for with the donations. I've got a camera filming me behind the computer that was donated to me. When my other camera busted and I needed a new one quick smart, somebody managed to give it to me, and it was just, you know, whew, man, it was so handy. and this computer that I've got here, you know, big 27-inch iMac quad-core processor, you know, the whole ball of wax is starting to get a little bit old now, and it's frustratingly slow. I wish I could get a new one, but you know, I don't expect people to like fork out a couple of grand to get me a new computer. I can survive for now. I can still get the job done, even if the computer's not quite up to scratch. It'd be much better to have a second one so that when one's processing videos and things like that, like if you're processing HD footage, dude, you can't do nothing else. Seriously. You try to publish a video, the computer's so fracking slow, I can't even do emailing, like even basic emailing, because the thing's too fracking slow. And, you know, people tell, oh, why don't you just empty out your hard drive? I have. There's frack all on the hard drive, bro. It's just there's not enough processing power. And it'd be nice if people could support, you know, what I'm doing, as you have been. And you know, the trouble with radio show hosts is the expectation and the ingratitude of them. Yeah. I don't want to become one of those people. I want to be intensely grateful every moment of every single day for every single thing that I get given. Everything that I'm wearing at this moment, even from my my shorts and my t-shirt and everything like that, even my underwear has been given to me by somebody. I don't have anything that I bought. Literally. I'm looking around me. The chair that I'm sitting in, the heater in the corner, the two megaphones next to it, the printer, the computer, the microphone, the camera, the tripod, the posters on the wall of John Key and chemtrails and stuff like that. Even had listeners do a personal painting for me. He drove all the way down from Waiapu to give it to me. It was a painting of a bee saying, "I tell the truth to sting the bankster's lies." I am literally living off you people, and I am intensely, intensely grateful that I don't have to subject myself to being employed by people who don't give a frack about me, all right? If you're a subscriber to this show for as little as $5 a month, as far as I'm concerned, you're my employer. And I like to please my employers. I always have when I was working. The problem is just I realized a little bit too late, maybe, that they were all a bunch of psychopaths and they didn't really appreciate me trying to please them. And fortunately, the caliber, like, if you think I'm a really good radio show host, I can assure you there's lots of really other good radio show hosts out there. But if you believe in me enough to actually fork out something every month, you know, go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. There's a bank account number there you can put automatic payments into. There's also a subscribe button for PayPal. You can do $1 a month if you want. We'll give you commercial-free archives, saves you 10 hours listening time a month or a week or something. You know, it's just really, really handy. The ad-free archives pages, I make sure they're all pretty every single time I have a guest on here. I mean, I really do try and give you the most bang for your buck. And honestly, I think I'm failing. Really. I'm not doing enough. There's just not enough hours in the day. Don't have enough resources, don't have enough technology, that kind of thing. So that's why it's growing and expanding. There's more people coming to the website than ever before. The videos are being shared around like crazy. People are really digging this show, man. And I'm you know, as the youngest in a family of five, having very little attention as a child, this is a new experience for me. This is a sensation that I've become very, very grateful for. And I just wanted to thank all of you for listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, because I don't think you realize just how much I really love all of you and you good people, all of you. Every single one of the listeners that I've talked to has been a very, very nice, good person. They're good to their families, and they care about their country. And the fact that you listen to me, I'm really honored. I love you all. You're really cool people, man. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for your attention.